Couple of notices first. The email that was sent out last night for prayer would have told you that Jean, with all that she's got looking after Stuart and the builders in at the moment with scaffolding it up and everything, on top of that, she has a very, very bad cold. And so she got no voice, I don't think much, but so please pray for Jean and for Rita, who really doesn't usually drive in such weather as this, and it's quite icy up where she is in her cul-de-sac. But also, she would value prayer for her friend Jenny, who was taken up to London from Torbay Hospital for a heart bypass, and they got caught in so much traffic that they were late. That's from the hospital. And so they said, "No, we can't do the operation on Friday now. You will have to wait in London until Monday." So that's caused a problem for that family as well. It was very strange that my PET scan, as they call it, was cancelled because I was to have been taken up. Dean, Graham's son, was going to drive, and he's been quite ill with a cold too, and so he wouldn't have been able to drive. So it was good that in a sense it was cancelled. But his mother was going to go with him because Eunice and I will be sitting in a room in preparation for the scan for 1 hour. And waiting for the scan, I didn't want to be sitting in that room on my own. But because they said you should be on your own, but they agreed that Eunice should sit with me. So the reason that Dean's mother was going to go with him was they could have gone off for an hour rather than have to sit outside on his own in a car. But yesterday, Saturday, she only just come back from Lanzarote, but she woke up Saturday morning with terrible pain in her foot, and she went to, because she's had it before, she went to emergency at Torbay, and they did the various X-rays, and what is it she's got, Eunice? Oh, blood clot. And it's a situation where that blood clot can cause the thing to go right up your body. And so she now can't go back to work. She was going to go back to work on Monday. But so she'll be out as far as going with Dean. And I'm not sure that Dean's well enough to go anyway. But we may need a driver. But driver's got an hour. Well, and the scan takes about 20 minutes, they say. So the driver would have at least 1 hour and 20 minutes. I don't know whether Deborah and Graham could do it. I don't know what you've got on, but if people can look at your commitments, then there is a driver. But I warn you that it's a long time there. Or go away and come back in an hour and, supposed to be Monday unless it's cancelled. 3:15. It's a long way, and it's to be there, you know, just sitting there on your own. Is, also, the other thing is that we could get a phone call in the morning tomorrow to say they still can't do it. They've sent all the details that it is now Monday, but you can tell from my voice that if they know I've got a cold, they may not be willing to do it. So, whether the lift will be needed or not, but it would be nice to know there's an offer if it's needed. So, there we are, just share those things, with you. There are various, people in need of prayer. Anyway, right, and all of our folk have been appointed elders, and to save me getting up and going round with the bread and wine, I'll do all the words. Stephen, I wonder whether you could take the bread and wine round to people. When it comes to collecting the glasses, Graham's already offered to do that, haven't you? Yeah.
I would have been quite happy to have an end for glasses, but it's up to you.
Yeah.
You're the boss. Come and get a
roll. Right, so we need, to start after the first song prayer, there are two prayers. One will follow the other. All right.
Candles, Bruce.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry,
I wondered why he was getting up. Right. Deborah, would you like to light them? At the moment, you can get out from there. Just one. Oh, no, you have to light the other two. They need to pick them up. There's these two and one more, but not the middle one. Hey.
Spark takes the stuff for the food bank, isn't
it? Oh, today? No, in the week.
Yes, I'm going to Riviera Lodge now.
I think Bruce
is there.
I think Bruce has got other stuff to go.
Yeah. I always take mine on a weekly basis down there, so I'll go down to the food bank and have it.
Some of the people that are not here today will have stuff.
Yeah.
And we've got to get that to Bruce.
Well, the other church, I'll go to the Together Church as well, and I'll take their donations, but theirs goes to paint and food banks. We want to spread it around.
Ask Bruce if you start now.
Don't want it, Eunice. I don't want to encroach on anything. No. What?
No Jackie from Review, right?
But Alex Jordan.
Yeah, but Jackie.
Yeah, so
take it.
It's only that I was going there this morning.
Jackie comes and collects it from Bruce. So that's an arrangement already made. All right. So, thank you very much, sir.
Jackie and Jordan this morning.
Right, so we begin with angels from the realms of glory. Thank you.
Angels from the realms of glory, bring your pipe for all the earth. Now proclaim the sign of God.
Let us come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, may we lose nothing of what this season gives to us. When we look for you, may it not be in what is remote or unworldly, but in the world as it is and in life as we live. May we keep strong within our hearts the spirit of peace and goodwill, seeking always to heal the wounds of division and to overcome all prejudices, hatred and violence. Lord, this is a season in which sometimes we find it easy to be generous. But may our generosity not die with the passing of Christmas. May we bring the gift of gold to other people's poverty, the gift of friendship to their loneliness, and the gift of faith to their doubts and uncertainties. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Another prayer. A prayer this time for those for whom Christmas is a difficult time of the year. God of the past, present and future, encircle in your love and care those for whom we now pray. For the housebound, keep warmth in heart and home, and cold and loneliness, keep them all, Lord, at bay. For the homeless, give shelter and hope, and save from despair and addiction. For those facing violence in their home, affirm their worth and dignity. Protect them from the blows and shield them from scorn. For those missing a loved one, may memories be precious, not morbid nor morose. God of the past, the present, the future, encircle in your love and care those for whom we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I have a special song.
So Richard and I were singing at Pennywell Farm last week, and we learned a new Advent song. We thought it would be lovely to sing it to you so that maybe next year we can incorporate it into the Advent programme. And the song is called Christ Be Our Light. It's a really beautiful song, and we taught it to these two, so hopefully they're going to join us. Sing if you do. If you know it, join in, please. Oh, sorry, you need it later.
Yeah.
So is it on?
Okay. Are we okay there? Oh, you know it.
I do agree.
This here.
Longing for light, we wait in darkness. Longing for truth, we turn to you. Make us your own, your holy people, light for the world to see. Christ be our light, shine in the hearts, shine through the darkness. Christ be our light, shine in the church, gather today. Longing for peace, our world is troubled. Longing for hope, many despair. Your world alone has power to save us. Make us your living voice. Christ be our light, shine in the hearts, shine through the darkness. Christ be our light, shine in the church, gather today. He's a gift, many the people, many the hearts that yearn to belong. Let us return to one another, making your kingdom come. Christ, be our light, shine in our hearts, shine through the darkness. Christ, be our light, shine in our church, gathered today. Christ, be our light, shine in our hearts, shine through the darkness. Christ, be our light, shine in our church, gathered today.
And now we all join together in singing our next carol, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. And now over to Rachel for the reading today. Thank you, Rachel.
Reading today is from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20, the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinus was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Thank you. While shepherds watch their flocks by night.
I'm going to go to the hospital.
You that this week, the first part of this week probably, will be the last chance for gifts to go to the food bank at the Riviera Life Church. Gifts were meant to be brought today, but so much has happened and so many are not here. We can arrange to take them from you if you have not brought them today, and make sure they get to Riviera Life, I'm sure. The other thing is, of course, on the 16th, that is Friday here in the main part of the pub, is the special Christmas service. Leaflets have gone out to many, many people, and we look forward to a good crowd of people, some who probably are not committed Christians at all, and it's an opportunity for us to share God's love with them. So that's 7 o'clock here on Friday, not in this part, but in the bigger part. And on the 18th, next Sunday, we have our own carols and readings special service. And I've got about six, I think, readings to give out. So we'll be looking for people there. Today's message, the title: the baby is born. What does that mean? The Lord has come. The Lord has come. There are just three points that I want to share with you. Number one, the birth of Jesus drew Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. Augustus Caesar was ruling, but my friends, God was in charge, for he used Caesar's edict to move Mary and Joseph 80 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem to fulfill his word. You see, Rome took a census every 14 years for both military and tax purposes, and each Jewish male had to return to the city of his fathers to record his name, occupation, property, and family. When Mary said, "Be it unto me according to thy word," it meant that from then in her life would be part of the fulfillment of a divine prophecy. God had promised that the Saviour would be a human, not an angel, and they would be a Jew, not a Gentile. He would be from the tribe of Judah and of the family of David. Born, and this was special of course, born of a virgin in Bethlehem, the city of David. So all this occurred just as Scripture had said. And Caesar unknowingly laid an important part in the birth of our Jesus. So his birth drew Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. Number two, his birth, verses 8 to 14, drew the angels from heaven. The first announcement of the Messiah's birth was given by an angel to some anonymous shepherds. Why shepherds, we may ask? Why not priests or scribes? By visiting the shepherds, the angel revealed the grace of God toward all mankind. Shepherds were really outcasts in Israel. Their work not only made them ceremonially unclean, but it kept them away from the temple for weeks at a time, so they could not be made clean. God does not call, you see, the rich and the mighty. We see here, he calls the poor and the lonely. The Messiah came to be both the good shepherd and the Lamb of God, sacrificed for the sins of the world. Very appropriate that the shepherds were involved. Number three, the last one. The birth of Jesus drew the shepherds from the fields, verses 15 to 20. The phrase, they went even unto Bethlehem, suggests that these men were located in some distance away, but they were willing to make the trip in order to see the newborn Messiah. Certainly they arranged for others to care for the flocks while they hastened to Bethlehem. The shepherds knew what to look for, a newborn baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And they found him, they worshipped him, and they marveled at God's grace and goodness, and the miracle that God had wrought for them. You know, my friends, the shepherds are good example for us to imitate today. You see, they received by faith the message of God, which sent them, and they responded with immediate obedience. After finding the baby, they reported the good news to others, glorifying and praising God. Then they humbly returned to their duties. New men, yes, but back to their same old job. We need to learn from their faith. We need to learn from their immediate obedience. And we need to learn the fact that they reported the good news to others. And we need to do that. We need to share our faith with others. So, I want for a few moments for some of you to tell us how you share the good news. So don't be frightened. How do you share the good news?
I just tell people. If I meet people in the street, get a chance, Quite often I go to Topsham. That seems to be the place more than anywhere. And, just ask them, do you believe in the Lord? And that's how the conversation starts. And then I just tell them what I've done, what he's done for me, because he's done a big, mighty job in me. So
you.
That's how I do it.
Thank you.
I have more of a coffee ministry. Where I go and hang out in cafes and... And
It's been said recently that it's usually young waiters, but. I'm sure it's the Lord's work. But yeah, and it's amazing the simple things that just quickly. I've got a backpack with butterflies on, and a waiter in a particular cafe liked the colour of the backpack, and so I changed it to the butterflies, and we got to talk about his mum who died, and I talked about the resurrection, and we've been friends. It's about April now. He hasn't made it here yet, but
yes, that's fair.
Somebody in a coffee shop this week, and we ran out of table, so I said, "Oh, come sit with me so another old lady could sit down," and he started talking, and I was reading a book. They asked me what I was reading, and it was a book about heart healing, a biblical book about heart healing. And they said, "Oh, read me something." And I said, "Well, what do you want me to read you?" So I skimmed down the titles, and one particular bit popped out, said, "Retrace your steps." So I read the first bit, which was about somebody needing to retrace their steps back to the last known point where they felt they knew God. I said, "Well, that really resonates with me, because I was in Germany in the army or the RAF, and I went out walking into the woods, and I remembered in the snow that they said not to go here. It was a minefield. So I had to retrace my steps back where I came." And he said, "So that really resonates with me."
Wow.
And then I said to that, he said he was going to Hebron, the little one up there.
Oh, Westbourne.
And I said, "Oh, well, there's one here as well." So he said, "Oh, it's a bit early for me." But he did think about it. So if somebody called David ever turns up,
that's him.
That's brilliant.
Anyone else?
Got a market stall on Thursdays in Torquay with what we call Gideon's Bibles. It's now good news for everyone. And people come to the stall and get a chance to talk. So that's quite a deliberate way. That's great. You do it as well.
Yep.
But fortunately, yeah, it does happen to me just in conversation other times. And I went to a cafe rather like Nicholas.
Yes.
Nicholas. And down in Paignton. And again, there weren't the seats. So I said to a lady, "Come, we'll join you." So yes, and started talking to her. And it turned out she's a Christian whose husband is very controlling and won't let her go to church, or go to Brunel, which was open, all sorts of things. So she got to minister with her and keep contact with her for some news. Yes?
Thank you.
I try and spread the word when I go to the food banks and volunteer there.
Yeah.
And we get so many people come in that we talk to. But it was lovely as a bit of a light-hearted thing. It was with the Reverend Nathan this week at Palace Avenue Theatre with the mayor's Christmas party. And he said he couldn't understand why the wise men bought gold, incense and myrrh. Why not nappies, barley, brusks? More appropriate. But I thought that was lovely from him.
I think, you know, it all reveals, doesn't it, to us that we can, we should have the opportunity to share God's love with others. And there's so many different ways in which that can be done. It can be done by prayer. It could be done by visitation, visiting people in their homes that you know are lonely. It could be done by being a good host or hostess. There are so many different ways. Sending a card to someone who you've heard is not well. There's so many ways. It's endless, I think. The ways in which we can share with other people. And one way I remember particularly that I met people who, when travelling on trains and have sat in a compartment, and people apparently start talking to each other just off the cuff. And I know some people who've used that way to share. So it doesn't really matter where we are, but it can be done. And I believe we should follow the shepherds and share the good news. Amen. Oh, we take communion. We sing, from heaven you came, helpless babe, entered our world, your glory veiled, not to be served, but to serve, and give your life that we might live.
Oh, that's not.
Now let us come to God again in prayer. Let us pray for those that would have loved to have been here today, but have been unable to because of disability or sickness. Lord, we want to bring to you Jean and her husband, Stuart. Lord, may they know your presence in a wonderful way in their home today. May they know the power of your healing. Lord, would you be their constant companion? We pray, Lord, for Brian, unable to join us at the luncheon club and again today because he is unwell. We pray that he might know too the power of your healing and your constant companionship. We pray for Rita. She finds it very difficult in this weather to drive. We pray, Lord, that you would be with her. We pray that she will enjoy the service as she goes online. And we thank you for the privilege that we have of reaching people online. We want to pray for Rita's friend, Jenny. Lord, it was such a shock for her going to London and thinking that within a day or two she would be back in Torquay. But Lord, things went wrong. And now the operation will be on Monday. We pray, Lord, that this time it will take place. And that it will be a successful operation. So, Lord, be with Jenny, be with her daughter, and all her family and friends. Lord, you know why people who wanted to be here today have not been able to come. And Lord, we pray for all who may be suffering. We pray for members of our own families that are sick and pray for their healing. Lord, would you be all that is needed in all of these many cases? Members of our church here, but also members of our families who desperately need our prayer support. Be with them, Lord, and help us, Lord, to use this Christmas to share the truth of your saving love with as many people as we can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we come to the table for communion, invitation, come because Jesus loves us and he died on the cross for us. Come and meet the risen Lord Jesus. But not only did he die, but he rose from the dead and he is alive forevermore. Come and bring your concerns and your problems to him and believe that he will deal with them for you. Come like the disciples, come like the shepherds, ready to do whatever the Lord requires of you. Come with a thankful heart, come in humility. May we go incompetence to, because we know Jesus is Lord. Let us pray. Lord, as we come now to celebrate your death, but to celebrate the fact that death could not hold you, but you rose from the dead as promised, and you are the chosen Messiah. You are the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. We thank you. Amen. So, we take the bread in remembrance that Jesus died for us, and we feed on him in our hearts by faith and with thanksgiving. Jesus took the cup, and he said, take this cup, which is in the new covenant, and sealed by his blood. And whenever we drink it, may we do it in remembrance of him. We retain the cup that we might all drink together. As we remember the great and wonderful sacrifice that Jesus made for us, let us drink with humble hearts and thankful hearts. Let us drink. Let us pray. Let us go to our families and friends and to our homes, knowing that our Lord goes with us. Let us go in peace, loving and serving our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. Thank you. There are one or two people who may have heard before what I want to share with you now. We're going to sing What Kind of Love Is This That Gave Itself for Me. When I first heard this song, it was when I was in Paddington Hospital. And one of our members from our London church, a lady, very kind lady, had brought, while visiting me, a CD player. And on it was this song. And as I listened to it, tears came into my eyes. And Paul, one of the people that asked Nanny and I to, or Eunice and I, to be a grandparents to his and his wife's children. And he came in to see me. He wasn't a Christian. And he saw the tears running down my eyes. And I was in the hospital with a throat problem, which they said the operation could mean I lost my voice. So when he came in and saw the tears, he said, "Oh no, Bruce, it's cancer." I had to explain to him. The tears were tears of joy, knowing and hearing this song, which I think very clearly reminds us of what God has done for us. So we're going to sing this before we say the grace together.
What kind of love is this that gave itself for me? My unworthy one has What kind of love is this? What time is it?
Where you are as we say the grace, hold hands with those near you and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, and evermore. Amen.